joyful. Merry Christmas, everyone. It's so great to see you this morning. Thank you for being with us in person, as well as joining us on our live stream. Christmas is upon us. Isn't that exciting? I'm so excited. This morning, we are celebrating our fourth and final week of Advent, and we have the wonderful Jennifer Gillis, our children's ministry director, and her family lighting the candle for us. So let's watch this.
Today, we complete the circle of light around the central candle of the Advent wreath. Each week, the light has grown stronger as we have anticipated Christ coming into the world. On Christmas Eve, we will light the central candle that represents Jesus.
This fourth candle is the angel's candle. Today we join the angels to proclaim that God's Son has indeed come into the world. Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Luke 2:14.
As we light the angel's candle, we also anticipate Christ's second coming to this world. One day, Jesus will return, not as a babe, but as a savior, to take all of his followers home to be with God in heaven. One day, we shall behold Jesus in all his glory and majesty, face to face.
King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever. Let's pray together. Lord God, you know all of our hopes and you know all of our fears. You know where we're feeling very good about things and where we're, well, perplexed with some worry and stress, even depression at what we're living in the midst of what we anticipate in the future. And we know, God, that you want to alleviate our fears and our worry and our stress. Your desire is to encourage us and pull us out of our depression, for there's always a hope and a future in you. And as we celebrate this Advent season, we once again want to prepare our minds, hearts, and souls to receive you, to celebrate you, to share you with those around us. And as we get a glimpse of what you've promised and what it's meant to the world and to us that you have come, it calls us to a greater devotion to you. And as we become more devoted, more fully devoted followers of yours, you call us into a wonderful community, a place where we are like iron sharpening iron. We're encouraging and helping one another grow and move forward in life. All who you are, all that you do in us and through us, Lord, we know that we're undeserving of such an effort upon your part. What a love and a grace and a mercy you have for us. And we confess in this past week we haven't done all that we should have done. We passed on those moments to say something. In fact, instead of something good, we've said something, well, that you would put in the sin category. It is true that our life misses the mark and falls short of the mark, yet you don't hold that against us. As we confess our sin to you, you are gracious. And you lavish us with grace and mercy instead of punishment and persecution. And as we pray once again today for the leaders in the world and the leaders in our country. We pray for those that are still very much on the front lines of the COVID virus. We pray for those who are sick. I ask that your healing hand would be upon them. Lord, in this Christmas season, our hearts are filled with celebration because of who you are. Because of what you mean to us, not only individually, but what you mean to us corporately. So as we desire to lift you up in worship this morning, Lord, lift us up as well. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can be seated, and Isaac and Christy are here, and I understand you have an announcement to make today. Yeah. Sure. Why not? No one should miss the great news.
Oh, you're so kind. Well, I just wanted you to know, because maybe some of you have been wondering if I just ate too many Christmas cookies or something, but we are actually expecting our sixth baby.
Yay!
Not too many cookies. It's really great.
Awesome. She won't make it by Christmas time, but there is a future date out there, right?
Yeah. In the spring, summer.
Excellent. Well, thanks. We celebrate with you. What a great Christmas this will be.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. Well, that's the big news. The second big news is that you were so generous with Adopt a Family. We have not only been able to supply Christmas for the families we were assigned, we were actually able to do a few more families and a couple of other needy places. So thank you very much for your generosity and your willingness to serve this church, our community, and especially those that are in need this Christmas season. Don't forget the mission tree. That's another opportunity to give a Christmas present to our missionaries. The final thing I'll say, I have two more things. Christmas Eve, 5:30 and 7 o'clock are both here. We will have candle lighting at 5:30. We will have candlelight and communion at 7 o'clock. They will both be live streamed, so if you're unable to be with us on Christmas Eve, you can do so virtually through YouTube. The final thing I'll let you know is, ladies, someone is here to sell you heart-to-heart books for the Christy's going to do that. So just look for Miss Sparkle in the back, and she has books to sell you for the next session of heart-to-heart. Our scripture passage today is being read by our youth pastor, Keith Sandell.
Good morning, FCC congregation. I'm Keith.
And I'm Jasa.
And we are going to be reading from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. It goes like this. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it.
God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world.
He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave them the right to be children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God.
So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son.
I didn't know Jasa was going to be a part of that, but we're great to have her with Keith. They got married this last August, and she's a great addition, I know, to Keith, but also to us as well. God became flesh and dwelt among us. He did that for a reason. The reason is that, well, Christmas lasts forever. Now, I'm with you. Right now, I feel like the only thing that's going to last forever is this COVID thing, this lockdown thing. And yes, there's hope on the horizon with the vaccine being rolled out, but I've heard it from more than a few people. Oh, is this going to last forever? When is this going to end? Well, when we get to Christmas, sometimes we're very sad at the end of Christmas. It's been such a great celebration and such a great time with family and friends. We really don't want it to end. Well, Christmas does last forever. That's what Jesus came for. That is what Jesus promised. Here's how John detailed it for us. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought life to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And then Luke chapter 1, verse 33. and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Christ's kingdom will never end. The kingdom that he came to establish, the kingdom of God that was at hand, Jesus said, is a kingdom that will never end. Jesus' reign as our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah, that will never end. And it makes sense to us because, well, that's what was predicted. That's what was promised to us. And that was the reality of Jesus' arrival on this planet. John makes that clear in chapter 3, verse 16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life, have eternal life. Resurrect from this world to a heavenly realm. Now, what does it mean to be, well, in heaven? Eternity, living forever. Being in heaven, those are all interchangeable terms. In fact, in the Bible, there are 134 references to heaven. And what will it be like to have Christmas forever? To be in eternity, to be living forever, to be in heaven. Well, here's how the Bible describes heaven. First and foremost, it's a glorious experience. A glorious experience. We all love glorious experiences, right? In this Christmas season, the good, glorious things, the heavenly things that happen, those are the things we like to grab hold of. We like to keep a picture of those events, those relationships, those interactions with others, our own feelings. We like to take a mental picture of them so that we can reference them over and over and over again. The Bible says that heaven is a place where pain and suffering will end. Revelation chapter 21, there'll be no pain, there'll be no crying, there'll be no suffering. And we all yearn for something like that. In fact, we love those periods in our life where there isn't pain, where we're not sick, where things are hopeful and joy-filled, not those times where we feel all too human. We feel all too fragile. And in those moments, we can think of, well, everything being good. Everything about us being healthy and true. The Bible says that when we get to heaven, eternity is about being immortal. We'll be like the angels. We will enter the heavenly realm. We will move to a place and an experience that we were designed for, but it will not be temporal. It will not be locked in by time and space. Just the opposite. There'll be this experience that, oh, this is the way life was always to be, and now it is, and it will be forever. One of the reasons we'll have that experience is because we will completely be in the presence of God. In our own times of quiet devotion to God, as well as when we gather together and worship and sing, there's something about that drives us, that calls us to this being a common experience instead of, well, an experience that's not missing God, but can't take in all of who God is. And in eternity in heaven, we will completely be in the presence of God. It'll only be good. It will be a true celebration of God, of all that Jesus is and all that he has done for us. And finally, heaven will be a place where your service will be celebrated and rewarded. Now, I'm like you, I wish the Bible talked more about what the rewards were. And the Bible is clear that we will be rewarded for our service, but, well, I think spending eternity with God is reward enough. But we find in our humanness, we'd like to quantify that a little bit more. Yet that shouldn't determine our effort or the heart that we put behind our devotion to Jesus, our service to others in the name of Jesus. And so God loves us. He doesn't want us to perish. He wants us to spend our everlasting life with him, eternity with him. Now that reality comes with a dilemma, doesn't it? Eternity, how do we get from here to there? And I don't know about you, but there are moments where eternity seems really a far away experience. One that I want and enjoy. I love those slices of heaven that we get to enjoy. Yet because all of life is not like that, I too yearn. What would it be like? I yearn to know it more personally, more intentionally, yet I know, well, heaven is far away. I know that Christmas brings the reality of eternity in heaven into our time and space in a very personal way. The Christmas story is about an infinite God who chose to become finite as a human being and dwell in this world just as we do. Now, it's good that God did that for us. I think we fall short and miss the mark as we try to get ourselves from our finite temporal position to relate personally to an infinite and transcendent God. Let's hear the scriptures from Matthew chapter 1, verse 27. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. Saving us from our sins, Jesus being our Savior, that begs the question, do we believe that we need saving this Christmas season? Or do we think we can really handle all of life on our own? Do we think that in our temporal, finite existence, somehow we can bridge the gap between us and the transcendent and infinite and holy God? Now, I'm with you. The idea we can do this on our own makes absolutely no sense. And the more I've learned and the more I've experienced in the world, the more I know I can't do it on my own. And I don't believe humanity can do it on its own. And it's not as though we haven't tried. Yet our own human effort seems to fall short. We think somehow that, well, we can save ourselves. We think Salvation will come to us because, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get rid of all of our bad habits. Right? The Bible talks about sin, and we know sin's a problem. It's a problem for us, it's a problem for those around us, and it's a problem between us and God. And so if we could just get all of our bad habits, all of our sinfulness behind us, well, we could save ourselves, couldn't we? And I just simply ask, have you ever had a perfect day? I've never had a perfect day. I've had a lot of great days, a lot of awesome days, but not perfect days. Have you noticed there's always something? Something incomplete, something missing. Some yearning. Some confusion about things. Yeah, we don't have perfect days. You will not save yourself by setting aside all of your bad habits. That is good for you, and that is good for those around you. Yet you will not have salvation by subtraction. All I need to do is get away from all the bad things. We try by doing good, by serving others, right? That's part of what Christmas is all about. We do want for our inner circle and those around us, but we also want and have a desire to help those beyond us, beyond our sphere of influence. Helping those that, well, don't have much this Christmas season. And oftentimes we serve not only in our families and in our church and in our community and in our world. We think somehow if we could just multiply that or magnify that, that would surely get us to God, wouldn't it? Isn't he the one that was said that it's better to give than to receive? Yet by salvation, by service, yeah, we won't be saved by our service. I just mentioned it will be celebrated, it will be rewarded, but that's not how we're going to get from here to there. That is not going to bridge the gap that sin has created between us and God. Sometimes we think, well, we just have to be more religious. I know the way to get to God is to come to a church service. And coming to the church service, I feel closer to God there, but that's going to be my salvation. Yet that's an attempt at salvation by setting, S-E-T-T-I-N-G, and sitting, S-I-T-T-I-N-G. And we know that it is not about religion. Religion is humanity's effort to get to God. And because we keep yearning to connect with God, we know we cannot do it on our own. And the reason for that is that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. And the Christmas story reminds us of that over and over and over again. That it's not about our effort that misses the mark or falls short of the mark. It's about what God has done for us. And it is plain for everyone to see, isn't it? Ultimately, this relationship with God is about believing and accepting. But to all who believe in him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with physical rebirth, but a spiritual birth that comes from God. And it isn't though we don't want some rebirthing spiritually, I think we do. We all want to be the best version of ourselves, but that can't happen just on our own human effort. Willpower is not powerful enough. We need a out of this world power. We need a supernatural power. That's true. And when we believe and when we accept Jesus, a transformation happens inside of us in an instant. We were children of the world, and now we become children of God. And we know that because the Holy Spirit takes up residency inside of us. And we know the difference. We feel the difference. We see the difference. Why? Because we're different. We've been saved. And now God is in the process. Once we're regenerated, He wants to transform us and change us and sanctify us, to use a theological term. Until we die, and then we're glorified and we spend eternity with God. See, God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God pays the price because He knows we can't pay the price. God didn't come into this world to punish us. He came into this world to save us. And now we're not wandering around anymore in our existence. We have a Lord as well, a leader who is leading us to the very best. A very personal path for us, yet a path we all share corporately. See, it is about belief. Belief is simply faith, trust, and action. It's faith in the facts, and I think at Christmas time, there's a lot of facts. Jesus coming to Bethlehem is not folklore. It's not just a good Christmas story. It's the record of God coming to this planet. And it's more than historical. It's more than authentic. Why do we have all the celebration and the gift-giving and the lights? The celebration. Why do we have all of that? We have that to commemorate the fact that God came to this planet. And He came to save us. And when you begin to look at the reality of Jesus, not only historically, but again, look at it from a personal standpoint, isn't that what you yearn for? A little help? God doing a few supernatural things for us on this planet? The biggest of which, He changes us from the inside out. That's the greatest miracle. We have plenty of good facts, historical facts about Jesus. Now, it's true we don't know everything about Jesus, and so it does take some trust. The interesting thing is we don't know everything about anything. And just to punctuate that, how true with COVID-19. Doctors have been scrambling, researchers have been scrambling because they don't know and they want to know. They want to be a help. And what we know now is a lot more than we knew 6 months ago. In fact, you don't even know for sure that chair is going to hold you the rest of the service. See, trust is a part of life, isn't it? Trust is a part of life. And so we hold on to the facts and we trust where we don't know what we'd like to know. And maybe we'll know it in the future and maybe we won't. That's why it's trust. Faith, trust, and then we've got to decide. It is a personal decision for us to ask Jesus to be the leader of our life. Some people say, well, I live in America, that makes me a Christian. I told my children as they grew up in our family, both my wife and I did, that you have to decide, children, whether you're going to ask Jesus to be the leader of your life. We can't do that for you. That's a personal decision. No, you cannot find salvation by heritage, because it is a personal faith, a personal action. We personally have to believe, and then we have to personally accept. And Christmas is about belief. It's about the facts. It's about trusting where we don't have the facts, but not letting that hold us back from making a decision. Asking Christ to be the leader of our life. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Think about the things of heaven. And have you noticed that you always think about heaven in your pleasure and your pain? Yes, in our pleasure, we believe things are heavenly. They're out of this world. They're awesome. But have you also noticed in your greatest moments of pain and grief and loss, you hope for heaven? You hope that this too will pass. That up ahead there is opportunity and hope. But see, that feeling, both in pleasure and in pain, is very much a part of the Christmas story. Not everything was easy for Mary and Joseph. It's real life. Real life is that we yearn for heaven, and we're reminded of that, even though we might not be all that heavenly minded. And God came to earth to bring heaven to earth, to declare that He is the Savior of the world, that He came to be the leader of our lives, that He wants to usher us from where we are in our human nature to what is divine within us. Well, so that we would spend eternity in heaven with Him. Romans 10, 9 through 13. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in Him will never be disgraced. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Christmas reminds us to call upon the name of the Lord. That He wants all of us to be His children. That Jesus came so that we would know His love. And we would understand that there's a decision to be made, because there is a path of destruction, a path of perishing, but there's also a path, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And that leads us to everlasting life. That leads us to spending forever with God. That leads us to the heaven we've always hoped for. Let's pray. Jesus, we're thankful for the reminder of the Christmas season. That reminder that you love us. And Lord, I know there are books upon books on how to get from here to eternity. But Lord, the most profound statement is what you say in the Bible. It's not about what we always try hard to do, but it's just about submitting and yielding to you. Humbling ourselves to the point of asking you to be the leader of our life, the savior of our life. And we pray this Christmas season that not only we would be able to celebrate that, but as we look around us, we're able to celebrate the fact that there are new people who are a part of this forever family called the church. Lord, that you would use us in this season to communicate your love, to communicate that there is a forever with you, that heaven is a real experience that we all want to experience, not only in our hearts and souls, but with one another and in your presence in heaven. Lord, thank you for coming. Thank you for this Christmas season, which is such a great reminder. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Love to see you on Christmas Eve. 5:30 and 7 o'clock are the service times, and you can go on our website to make a reservation. So we'd love to see you then. Have a good Sunday.